All right, welcome into the third hour of the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe alongside Elijah Campbell, Big Kitty behind the glass. We got some games that are just some crazy scores happening now, games that looked like to be blowouts, and now they're close. So a lot of things happen. So as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, it's time for the scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny.
Oh, yes, and we will start in the borough. Oakland up 14-9 on Blackman. That game, I think, is nearing halftime, or it's got to be getting close. Beach up 14-7 on Cane Ridge. There's still a minute 50 left in the second quarter in that one. York Institute up on Monterey, 20-7. A win will put them in the semifinals for only the second time in school history. East Nashville up on Smith County, 25-13. A touchdown pass to Frank Gordon in the back of the end zone with less than a minute left in the half. Gives East Nashville a multi-score lead going into the locker room. Giles County up on Sweetwater, 14-13. At the end of three, CPA up at Chattanooga Christian, 28-7. Friendship Christian nursing a three-point lead. They're up 10-7 against University School of Jackson. Lipscomb, they are only up 20-7 earlier. A tack on a touchdown in the third quarter. They're up 27-7 on undefeated Knox Webb. Nashville Christian over doubling Jackson Christian. They're up 28-13. At the half, Clay County up on Gordonsville, 21-6. McCauley and MBA all knotted up at 14. That one's late in the first half. Baylor down 14-10 to Brentwood Academy. Throws a touchdown pass from Will Muschamp's son to Jefferson, another star recruit they have on that team. Baylor's up 17-14. Nolensville's up 14-7 on Page. Page did have a touchdown run called back just now. And then they had a fourth down and long. Did not convert. Looking good for Nolensville right now, but still up only 14-7. Chattanooga Tyner is up on East Robertson. They're about to start the third quarter in that one. They're up 13-0. Henry County, last time we had our update, they were down 19-7 to Springfield. They are now leading Springfield 21-19, that game in Paris, Tennessee. And that is all the scores I have. I don't know if I'm missing anything.
Nashville Christian leads 28-13. Did we get that?
We did. Okay. Yes, they're at 28-13.
It just popped up on my screen here.
And I think that is – we don't have a Fayetteville McKenzie update, do we?
Yeah, it's 17-12 McKenzie.
So Fayetteville has made that a game.
I was told they played some of your comments in the locker room and during the switchover first and second quarter.
Okay.
There's a speaker there. They gathered the team in the blue tent.
I said, you know what? This guy sucks. We're going to go out there and prove that this guy sucks.
This Archie Campbell guy that's on the radio in Nashville, doesn't know what he's talking about.
This guy does not sound handsome. We're going to prove it.
Get him out of here. So that's your update there. Well done, Elijah. Well, remember you. We used to have 800 games to read through all that stuff?
Exactly, yeah. And that used to they used to test the lung capacity. We used to really have to...
To get it done. Do we have a Lewis County update? I was writing stuff down.
I don't have anything from Lewis County.
Coach T's got Lewis County up over Decatur County, 123-14.
Wow, 123. That's impressive. They would have breaking a lot of records right now. I mean, I might call ESPN for that.
Offense is rolling. Giles County just scored again. They're up over at Sweetwater, 21-13.
Wow, yeah, because they were up 14-13 at last update. So we're going to make a little, we're doing this the caveman style. We have pads and pens in here.
As I've told us throughout the season, we study harder for this show than any class I did in college.
Oh, same. Yeah, I'm a decent studier. I have decent study habits, but I have the attention span of a squirrel. So, like, literally anytime something, like, pops up, you know, I'm going to get sidetracked. Not great for this industry. However, I have been able to study for this about as well as I have for any test I've ever taken in my life.
And this show is a test, right, for 6 hours every Friday night. Monterey just scored. We had 20-14 York. Did you have that?
It was 20-7 last. So, yeah, 2014. Is that the correct
score? Now, did your dad go to York?
He did. Frank Campbell Jr., York Institute class of 1979, I believe.
And then where did you go?
Cookeville High School.
Class of
2013.
No Cookeville highlights tonight.
Yeah.
No McGavick highlights either as well.
That's right. So. Neither of our, The only alumnus here that is still has a horse in the race here, that is Kenny.
But, come on, baby. Class of 97.
By the
yes, class of 97.
And what Kenny was here, they didn't have a football team, correct? Is that right?
We did not. We didn't. So I'm so proud and happy right now.
Kenny's like, where was this when I was in high school?
Right.
This is BS.
So let me tell you this, because of York, because of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I have a connection to York.
Really? I'm probably related to them. That's fantastic. So what is it?
You.
Yeah, it's me. I am related to me. Yes.
To your dad, and then that's my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
That's how I know.
Connected everywhere.
It goes to York. Now, is York Institute, is that a private? That's not a private school, is it?
It is not, but it is one of only 3 state-funded schools in the state. Can you guess the other two?
Oh! This is good. This is good. Now, York Institute. Are they in Middle Tennessee?
I actually don't know where the campuses are, but
I don't know.
The Tennessee School of the Blind. The Tennessee School of the Deaf.
Oh my goodness!
Those two schools plus York Institute, the only state-funded public school, or the, state government, not like obviously these are all technically I guess state-funded schools,
right?
But funded by the state government, not the local government.
What? Okay, so stupid question. I apologize.
Oh no, there are no stupid questions here.
Yeah. So Tennessee School for the Blind. I mean, I know it's for the blind and for the deaf. What is York Institute known for?
So when the school was built by Alvin C. York, World War I hero, he came back, built the school, and at the time he has reached international fame. For
Badass.
Alvin C. York is a badass. That right. Dude that's a bad dude.
Right.
If you ever have the time to look it up, his World War I heroics are pretty impressive. He has a pretty impressive acumen of being one of the most famous, I guess, soldiers in the history of the United States. Well, he comes back. He's from Jamestown, Pall Mall specifically, but he goes to Jamestown and wants to build this school. Well, there's no money in Jamestown. It's a very poor, still to this day, I guess, one of the poorer Fentress County, as poor counties in America. Builds the school, and the state agrees to fork over the money to keep it alive and well, and they've done it ever since.
That is fantastic. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, and largest campus. High school campus in America. You know why? They have a farm that's part of the property for the it's York Agricultural Institute.
Look at
they have a farm. And if you count that farm, it is the largest high school campus in America. There you go.
Man, you are impressive tonight.
Is it not?
I used to live there. So, I mean, if
that
anything.
Doesn't matter. I mean, that's still excellent there. And now we know the history of York Institute, who, by the way, if they hold out, will go to the semifinals. Have they ever been to the semifinals?
Only once. That was in 2014. They got really close. Tyrell Asbury, best player on that team, and a family friend of mine. So family's really invested in that. But they had a team that they beat Smith County on like a hook and ladder with like less than 10 seconds left in that game.
Oh.
Moved into the state semifinals. They played Milan and lost. But that's the only other time they've ever been to a state semifinal.
So at 6-4, they knocked off Cumberland Gap, which, by the way,
60-8.
60-8, which, by the way, Old Crow does the better song than Darius Rucker for the
for those who don't know.
For the yeah, exactly. Then they beat South Green, who had a decent season. Now they're taking on Monterey, who is 8-2. This would be a big win. Now, are these school? They played the regular season, right?
They did, and yeah, York won. York won handily. They won by like they were up like three scores. Monterey had a couple scores late to kind of make it a little more interesting, but for the most part, York was seemingly in control that entire game. Because I remember being surprised by that result. And that was honestly the biggest test that York had in their region. They didn't lose a game in their region, and the other region they're paired with, they blew out both South Green and Cumberland Gap. So
what's the stadium atmosphere like at York Institute?
It is a very small scene. For the longest time, they only had, I don't know if they still do this now, but they only had, you know, one-sided bleachers or whatever.
Okay.
It's right across the street from the school. They used to have like this big like animatronic dragon in the end zone that would blow out fire back in like 2006. some of the students in a metalworking class or whatever, they put together this like goofy looking animatronic dragon, but like it actually blow out, you know, flames whenever they score touchdowns. So that's pretty cool. But very small town, definite small town feel. They're very crazy about the football games. My dad texted me earlier in the week. He's bummed he wasn't able to make the game. He really wanted to go, but it's a hot ticket.
Take this phone call here.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, speaking of great atmospheres, Nolensville Page, we've got a great game. That one's at the half. Our man Adam Brown is on the line right now, student of our own Michelle Knezovic, but he's on the ground at Nolensville right now. Adam, thanks for joining the show, man. What do we have? How's the game looking so far?
In one word, cold. It's been below freezing yes. since kickoff, and it is definitely a cold one. It's had an effect early. Both the teams tried to set up the running game, really leaning on their running backs. But in the second quarter, we had a fake field goal touchdown for Page and an 82-yard strike for Nolensville. So the fireworks really started in the second quarter. But I'd say the biggest defense, the biggest reason Nolensville is up, I'm sorry, is the Nolensville defense, and they're up 14-7 at the half.
We had Coach Eddie Cunningham. He's Lincoln County's head coach on. He, you know, is very familiar, played Nolensville and Page this year, and he said if there's any, you know, avenue for Page to win this game, it's to take advantage of the run game. How has Page's running game looked against Nolensville tonight in terms of just the ability to move the ball?
They're moving the ball fine. It just seems that once they get into, like, a critical third down situation, they haven't really been able to pick those up. They kind of got into more of a rhythm just before the half. But instead of taking a field goal opportunity, they went for it on 4th and 19, I believe it was. And like I said, that defense just turned them away. But they did lose their starting running back a couple weeks ago, so they're kind of making do with what they have.
Well, Adam, last time these two teams played, 21-21 in the regular game, and then, of course, those ones 24-21 in the extra frame. It was back and forth. Is it the same kind of game that's being played right now? I mean, it's like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's one team, like, established something, whether running-wise or defense-wise, and they've kind of got the hold on that right now. Or is this basically the same?
It definitely feels the same kind of back and forth, just not in the same way of high scoring, just more defensively. And I definitely think it's a big reason is the cold, but Nolensville just seems to be handling it better.
All right, so I understand you're a student at MTSU, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so that last question I ask you, that's called just land the plane, Joe, a long question which had no
yes.
ending. Never do that, okay, Adam?
Okay. Thank you for the information.
Well, basically, whatever I do, don't do. Then you'll
be fine.
Do
as he says, not as he does, yes. If Joe Dubin was a teacher.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. Adam Brown. Adam, thanks for joining us, man. You can call us after the game?
Absolutely.
Fantastic stuff. Adam Brown, our man in, with boots on the ground in Nolensville right now. We have somebody else on the line as well.
We're going to hold him over because he's got nothing else to do.
My man.
All right. So we'll get a Beach Cane Ridge update for you after the break, courtesy of the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. But first, this is the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As promised before the break, let's go to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, your one source for everything fantastic. And bringing Lance Mackey at the Beach Cane Ridge game. It's at halftime. Lance, what's the update?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me, Doc? You all right?
We got you, man.
Yes.
Got you.
You hear that Back to the Future callback right there?
Got it. Love it.
It's picked up the theme.
Well, we're at halftime here, score 21-7, Beach Buccaneers. Right before half, thanks to a couple pass interference penalties on Cane Ridge, tight end Tyler Nix catches a pass from Justice Law for a touchdown. And Beach will be getting the ball to start the second half. So you could kind of feel the energy come out of this building a little bit here after a couple tough penalties, but I think they'll be able to bounce back here in the second half.
Lance, before the game, we talked about a lot Beach's wing T offense, and it's a well-oiled machine. Not a lot of teams run the wing T like Anthony Crabtree coach teams, but how has it looked like to you, and how has Beach been able to run the ball against Cane Ridge, who's had one of the more impressive defensive stretches over the last few weeks?
Yes, I mean, they're running the ball down their throat. J.P. Courtney's having a day. Got a touchdown on the ground and a touchdown through the air. But honestly, I've been surprised by the passing here. They've had a lot of really, really strong timed play-action passes down the field to their tight ends, their receivers, and their backs out of the backfield. And again, the name of the game has been a lot of penalties here against Cane Ridge that's kept Beach's offense on the field. And also had a touchdown taken off the board early for an illegal chop block on the offense too. So a lot of it is kind of coming down to some of these penalties here. But you know, I'm sure Coach is going to be making some of those adjustments at halftime, and I think they'll be coming out here with a strong defensive game plan to stop Beach.
Yeah, Lance, I was going to ask you, what does Cane Ridge have to do to take over the second half? And if you say score more points, we're hanging up on you.
That's the rule.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say, you know, offensively, they've been driving the ball down the field. They had a missed field goal after that chop block penalty took the touchdown off the board for the Ravens. And then they've had they scored on a fourth down play. But over the other than that, I mean, really, it's been a couple bad breaks on defense. But they've been right there this whole game. So I really do think that the Ravens are going to come back here in the second half, get a big stop here immediately, and then drive down there to cut this lead. And I think we're going to have a barn burner here, boys.
What did you get from this,
Snack Shack?
Snack Shack, yes.
Well, I got a cheeseburger. I got the classic Lay's.
Yes.
I'm trying to hook up our boy Max Herz up here in the booth as well. He did tell me, Big Joe, that you stiffed him at the book signing yesterday. So I did want to give a shout-out on the air to that.
You
so
stiffed
you're
going
to have to answer
Herz?
For this.
No, Max did not show up because his curfew was at 8, and the book signing was from 6 to 7. So, yeah. So you tell Max
right.
Nothing for no dinner. He's straight to his bed. No dinner at all.
No Pop-Tarts for him.
Yep. Lance, thanks for all you do, man. Call us back with an update when you get one.
Yes, sir.
All right. See, Lance Mackey covering the Beach Cane Ridge game. 21-7 Beach. I'm not shocked by that.
I'm not. I think the one thing that shocks me most, I'm not surprised Beach is able to crank out 21 points in the first half. I think it's that Cane Ridge has committed the penalties that have kept Beach on the field. I mean, they're one of the, like, Coach Eddie Woods runs a pretty tight ship, right?
I mean,
that he's one of the better coaches in the entire state, and the job he's done there with Cane Ridge has been magnificent. And the defensive role they've been on the last few weeks, like last week against Clarksville, they gave up a garbage time touchdown. First points they've given up since October 21st. They don't give up a lot of points, Joe Dubin. However, Beach is a lot different animal of it than teams like Clarksville or Maplewood, a lot of teams that they've seen in the last few weeks. But the penalties, though, it's the self-inflicted wounds, I think, is probably the more shocking part of anything that of this result.
We have a team that's punched their ticket to Chattanooga.
Our first Chattanooga ticket punch is at CPA.
It is CPA.
Fantastic. Congrats, Coach Engel Martin.
That's right. They beat Chattanooga Christian tonight 28-13. So CPA heading back to the state championship, where the most likely take on for the third year in a row, Lipscomb.
The big bad wolf, Lipscomb. They're up 37-7 on Knox Webb right now. I think that one is safely over unless the miracle of all miracles occurs.
Yeah, so
biblical proportion.
In 2020, CPA won the state championship. 21 last year, Lipscomb took it, and then they'll play again in 2 weeks.
State
that game
title
will be
match.
At 11 o'clock on that Thursday in Chattanooga because it's the Division II, 3A first, no, 2A first, then the 1A, then the 3A. It's weird how they do that.
It is weird. I've never picked up on it. Keeping up with high school football for a long time, I have never picked up on because back when it was in Cookeville, that would always be, I think, the first night of games. They always did it at night.
Well, they always moved it around, and I'm like, well, you know, the private schools get that extra week off.
Yeah.
So have them play on that Thursday because they were making some teams play on a Thursday that played that previous Friday. It just didn't seem right, and so they kind of righted the ship a little bit there for that.
They have, yeah. I just want consistency. That's it.
That's all we ask for.
Yeah. Is this a little bit of consistency? I don't think it's too much to ask here.
Clay County's nap over Gordonsville. That game is 28-6 now.
Clay County on Gordonsville?
Is that what I said? Did I say it wrong?
No, I think you said it correctly. I just might not have heard it correctly. These headphones have ruined my ears. I'm
Clay
not
County's
30 yet. These things are done.
28-6. Giles County's up 21-13. Up there the lead there. Of course, Beach over Cane Ridge, 21-7. Lewis County's now tied with Decatur County, Riverside. That's 20-20 at half.
Okay.
They listen to us in Lewis County because I've talked to some people throughout the year that listen to us down there. That's a big game and a big deal for Lewis County, Decatur County, Riverside. You might see that game as Riverside. You might see the game as Decatur County, but we'll call it Decatur County, Riverside.
It's one of those schools that you never see their name the same on multiple platforms. It's going to be different on Coach T. It's going to be different on the TWSW website and Donovan Stewart's fantastic annual that everyone should use if you're keeping up with high school football. It's going to be different. Like, it's just different everywhere. It's not consistent. You kind of just have to use it all interchangeably.
So Henry County's roared back now. They lead Springfield 27-19. Was Springfield up 19-7 at one point?
They were up 19-7, hit the commercial break, came back for our scoreboard update, and that was when we first saw that Henry County retook the lead. So that one's at what now?
That's at the halftime. It's now Henry County up 27-19. That's a lot of points with two very good defenses in the first half.
Wow. I mean, that's especially considering Springfield nursed a multi-score lead. And it's amazing how fast that went away. It went awry.
Yeah, Maryville is going to move on. They beat Science Hill 38-14, so they'll wait the winner, the Oakland and Blackman game. And let me look, where is that being played next week at Oakland? Let me check that out.
I don't know. That's when it gets a little weird because I don't know exactly what the parameters are each year. If they alternate one side getting to be the home team and the other side, because
I think so. I think you're correct because the H is in the Oakland Blackman bracket.
Okay, so it makes sense that the East would travel the middle. Do you remember where they played last year? Because obviously it was Maryville and Oakland last year, I believe. I think that one might have been in Maryville.
I think you were correct.
Yeah, up so there, I think they just alternate it.
Oakland got them and then got them in 20 at their place. But 20 is such a blur because of COVID, everything that happened that went on.
Yeah, the last 3 years are a blur.
Well, they are the last 15 years for me are a blur, but that's
last 15 days for me have been a blur, Jerry.
That's another when we get to our personal stories about being dropped off at family billiards and rest stops. Waiting on our moms to pick us up. What's another part of the story? All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. We'll do the top and the bottom. They are a complete scoreboard update for you. This is the Game Blitz. We're here till midnight tonight. That's right, till midnight right here. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. Big Joe alongside Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass, making things happen. We're here till midnight for you tonight. The show brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. As we do at the top and bottom of every hour, scoreboard time. Hit it, Kenny.
Yes. We'll go ahead and start in the Borough, Oakland. Last time we saw it was at the half. They lead Blackman 14-9. I still have not seen anything else other than Oakland received the second half kickoff. Nolensville up 14-7 on Page. That game is at the half. One game that just came back from the half, Beach and Cane Ridge. Beach was winning 21-7, but another long run from J.P. Courtney results in a touchdown. Beach is now up 28-7 on Cane Ridge early in the third. The first team to punch their ticket to Chattanooga, CPA. They beat Chattanooga Christian 28-13, where they will play Lipscomb. The game is not officially over, but with 1:34 left, Lipscomb was up on Knox Webb 44-7. Henry County up on Springfield at the half, 27-19. Clay County up on Gordonsville, 28-6. East Nashville up 32-20 on Smith County. Smith County scored a touchdown to cut it 25-20. And as we were coming back from commercial break, I received a text message that said East Nashville responded with a touchdown of their own. So after scoring only 14 points against Smith County a couple weeks ago in Carthage for the region championship, East Nashville in three quarters and some change has hung 32 points on them. Friendship Christian, they're up on USJ 17-7 at the half. Probably the two best teams in 1A, McKenzie and Fayetteville. McKenzie's up 17-12. Giles County up on Sweetwater 21-13. Brentwood Academy, with 2 seconds left to go in the second quarter, took the lead over Baylor. They're at 25-23. That's at the half. Pearl Cone leading Lexington 14-3 at the half is what we're seeing here. The Nashville Christian up on Jackson Christian 28-13 at the half. Last time we saw Chattanooga Tyner was up on East Robertson 13-0. Flipping back as well, some of our other games we haven't gotten an update on in a while on York and Monterey, but that was 20-14 last time we checked. A lot of history there on the line for the York Dragons, and that is all the scores I ever know. Am I missing it? NBA McCauley, I think, still tied at 14 last I saw. I don't have any more updates. That one is going to be a thriller. That once we get to the witching hour here is going to be one to really keep an eye on. Am I forgetting anything else?
I think you're
right. We're rolling through all these so fast, and I'm just like, it doesn't
feel. Well, the thing is, we're used to, and that's your scoreboard update. Thank you, Kenny. The thing is, we're used to calling like 60 games, and now we're down to basically what? I mean, 18, I think, involving teams in Middle Tennessee. Yep. So it's like, are we done? And like, you feel like you've missed something and got it out of there, but you haven't.
I know. It felt wrong. It felt dirty doing it that fast.
All right. We got another team that's punched a ticket to Chattanooga. Congratulations to Trenton Dilfer and Lipscomb Academy. They won tonight. So they will face CPA in 2 weeks down in Chattanooga on that Thursday for the state championship again. And our man, Drew Hester, says that Friendship Christian just scored an interception by Brock Montgomery.
Brock Montgomery.
They lead 17-7, 8:55 to go in the third. So that would be another team that would punch their ticket. Also, with Nashville Christian, would punch their ticket tonight.
Yep, Nashville Christian's up 2 touchdowns on Jackson Christian. That one looks like they might have that one pretty secured, and that would be Nashville Christian's second straight trip to the state championship in Chattanooga.
So let me get this right. So if NBA wins and Brentwood Academy win tonight, they'll face each other in the
Correct.
The finals.
They would. So we can have either an all Nashville or an all Chattanooga D2 3A state championship, or one of each.
And TWSAA is probably wanting, hey, give us a one of each, because you get one team to travel down, use hotel rooms, because if you stay
less expensive,
madness there.
Hey, they got to make money too, man. They got to make or save money.
They are. So we could have the Division II state championships could be set tonight with the games, and you know, it's just so crazy that we started this on August the 19th. We we talked about this the week before, but in August 10th, 12th, right in there. It was like, we have a fun time. It was 1,000 degrees outside. And then now we're here to the quarterfinal round. So 11. So it's our 14th week of this show.
It is. 14 weeks of this. We've spent our last 14 Friday nights.
I love people like, well, how are you going to do the 6 hours? I'm like, there's not enough content. I said, you let us worry about that.
It's a lot easier.
Sit back and listen to what's going on right there. But I would, selfish reasons, I would love to see NBA and Brentwood Academy in the state championship.
Absolutely. I have an all-Nashville championship. And they, because they were in different regions, they didn't play in the regular season.
Right.
I would love to have seen that game in the regular season. Would make a fantastic matchup. I'd like to see Marcel Reed's NBA career end in Chattanooga.
I think a lot of us would,
too. To get another shot at a state title. It would be poetic justice for him to be able to finish out with a state championship. So,
now, you might run this back on me in the tape at 11 o'clock tonight and laugh at me, but I just think this Oakland-Blackman game, it's tight. 14-9 Oakland leads. And
do you feel it? Like, do you feel that inching, like – maybe. Pending feeling of something weird might happen tonight?
Could be. I mean, there's got to be one team that gets kind of upset. I'm not sure that's going to be the game, but it's just usually Oakland's got a nice little lead and control. And we haven't – I mean, like, I just searched as well for updates, and it's kind of like 14-9, third quarter. Usually get all these updates with these games
It happens so fast. Okay, so you know how East Nashville is leading 32-20 on Smith County.
Okay.
Things have developed.
Get it.
Caden Powell from Smith County takes a 70-yard touchdown. Smith County trails 32-27. Onside kick, they recovered. So they have the ball down 32-27. I believe we are in the fourth quarter.
That is, again, another – what's going on these two when they play each other? 15-14 3 weeks ago, and now this game happening there. By the way, Nolensville Page tied at 14. Do we have
– Oh, we have not gotten that update.
Tied Page quarterback Colin Hurd with a touchdown pass to Trent Gephardt. To tie the game, Nolensville Page tied at 14 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. So here we go again.
Yeah. Buckle up. Go to overtime again, please. See these two teams go to overtime again. This is how evenly matched they are.
It'd be fantastic to do this. For those that listened earlier, the winner of the Blackman-Oakland game will take on Maryville again. I wonder how many years Maryville has been to the semifinals.
Oh, man. The semifinals, I mean, I can pull up how many times they have won state titles. Because it is an absurd total. If we want to get to like the specific number of state titles that Maryville has won, let's see. They have won 17 state titles since 1998. They have won, I'm trying to do some math here, 14.
All right. So, and I know a couple of those years they were knocked out by Oakland.
Yep.
To get to the state championship. So
I would say at least 20 since 1998.
Easily to do that.
At least 20, probably more. Like the earliest exit they've probably had is quarterfinal. Maybe. Yeah. And that's a maybe. That's a big maybe.
That's a huge maybe with that. And that, I mean, George Quarles was there for many years. They didn't miss a beat when he left to go to Furman, maybe? I think
he did go to Furman, yeah.
Yeah, so they just plug somebody else in there. And what's crazy about the Maryville program is that I know they've had guys that have gone on to college and played ball. I mean, but not like these massive five-star guys like Oakland has, or Brentwood Academy, or NBA, or Innsworth.
I think, is it Patton Robinette was the one who ended up playing a quarterback for Vanderbilt, got a game-winning touchdown against Tennessee in Neyland. I think that's the only player from Maryville that I can think of. Maryville has a more famous basketball graduate than they
Who's
do.
Who's that?
Lee Humphrey, starting shooting guard on Florida's back-to-back championship team.
Was he the one? Who was the guy that got busted for gambling?
There was a guy that got busted for gambling?
For Florida, that was really kind of a...
On those back-to-back title teams?
I think he was on... Maybe it was after... Like, he didn't, like, gamble while he was there, but...
I'm a gnarly.
Afterwards, yeah.
Yeah.
You're the basketball guy. You remember this guy?
I've never heard that, no. Lee Humphrey was the little little white dude who was the three-point shooter, shooting guard of that team with Corey Brewer. That team had two TSSAA alum starting on that team. They won back-to-back national championships.
Now you got to Google this guy up, see if that's him.
Got to. I'm curious now.
Lee Humphrey.
Yeah, Lee Humphrey. Yeah, probably they did not have a I can't remember. I think Pat and Robinette's the most the most successful college football player, I think, that's come out of Maryville. But 17 state titles, man. That's I think since 2010, they won in 2010, 2011, 13, 14, 17, and 19.
Oh.
That's a lot. A lot of winning.
I am this is going to drive me crazy now, and I'm doing a football show. I shouldn't look up a basketball. It's not Lee Humphrey. But somebody, it was down there at Florida. And he transferred, like, to Michigan State or something, or ooh. I'm just rambling now. Just forgive me.
This is interesting. This is good. Yeah, I'm going to remember one in the morning when I finally settle down to go to sleep and be like, I know who it is.
I'm going to figure this out right
now. We'll call you late at night.
Yeah. You got me. Because I like guys who play in Tennessee and then go to other states and do some amazing things.
And dominate. Yeah. The TSSAA, one of my favorite Super Bowl games to play every year is who from the TSSAA. Is playing in that team. And this past Super Bowl, we had a lot. Jalen Ramsey, Brentwood Academy, T. Higgins, Oak Ridge High
Teddy
School.
Teddy Dupe.
Teddy Dupe, wow.
That's it.
Yeah.
Dupe, Leslie Sheridan, gambling winnings. I know I'm not
wow,
dumb.
Teddy Dupe. Teddy, yeah, was on the 2000 team that lost to Michigan State in the championship game.
After being dismissed from Florida for his role in providing inside information to Creston Lagerman, a Florida student who bet on college basketball.
Oh.
I knew I was.
Insider gonna, trading.
Yes. In the back of my mind, I'm like, Joe, you got this.
I love a good scandal. I love a good gambling scandal in sports.
Clay County now scored again. They're up over Gordonsville 35-6.
Wow. This is a week after Gordonsville went to South Pittsburgh. For those who don't know, South Pittsburgh, the reigning 1A state champs, they went to South Pittsburgh last week, beat them 14-7. And then in a game they only lost by 7 against Clay County just a couple weeks ago, Clay County has just dropped the hammer on them. That is... In terms of the most surprising blowout, I mean, between – because Beach is about to score again on Cane Ridge. Between
oh
Beach
goodness.
Handling Cane Ridge on the road and Clay County handling Gordonsville, that is a – those are some very shocking results.
So Beach will have to go on the road. If they hold on the road next week to take on either – what did you do with it, Joe? Germantown or Bartlett. And the H is in that bracket of Germantown and Bartlett. So they'll have to travel to Memphis next week. Let me find a score of Germantown-Bartlett right now, what's going on, and see if we can get one. Bartlett's up 16-7 on Germantown in the fourth quarter.
Oh, wow. Okay, and that was – those two teams played a thriller earlier in the year, if I'm not mistaken. All those teams that were in that region, like the margin of victory was so slim for most of those games. So for Bartlett and Germantown, I believe I'm flipping through my ridiculous amounts of notes. Germantown won 17-16 in Germantown in the regular season.
Wow. It'd be a haul. I mean, Beach goes down there. You know what? I'm watching the Beach and Cane Ridge game, and what's so frustrating is just I remember playing ball years ago, and then when a team dink and ducks on you and throw passes down the field, you got time to kind of catch your breath. But a team is just constantly running the ball down your throat and you can't stop them. It's just awful.
Well, they're beating you at the line of scrimmage like that too, and they're picking up just 5-6 yards at a time, and you're on the field for like 15 plays at a time. It milks off a lot of clock, and which of course in this game it's been a lot of big plays. JP Courtney has like 2 touchdowns of at least 40 yards.
I mean, Anthony Crabtree's just got a great factory there at Beach. They're going to go for a field goal. Oh, this will be a 40-yard field goal.
Wow, is that a lefty kicker?
Yeah,
left-footed
like this.
Kicker? Oh, this is interesting.
40-yard field goal for Beach. They get this to go up 31-7. Here's
the kicker
snap.
Wearing number 91, too. Well,
and
that's a helicopter.
It's like he hit the chain, got holding the chain. He missed that by a mile.
Yeah. Laces out, Dan.
But, God, the kicker's bundled up like he's in middle of Alaska. I know it feels like that outside. But he's got like 9 layers of – no wonder he couldn't kick the field goal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's all that top heaviness.
Barely get off the field.
A man looks out there looking like the Michelin man kicking these field goals.
Oh, goodness. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back about more scores, everything that's happening. Again, congratulations to CPA and Lipscomb Academy for punching their ticket to the state championship in Chattanooga in 2 weeks. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As predicted, there's like a little calm in this storm a little bit, and then it just explodes again with scores everywhere. We have an update on a few games, Elijah.
We do. MBA has taken a 2-touchdown lead on McCauley. It was tied at 14 last time we checked in. 28-14 now. MBA, a couple of Marcel Reed touchdown passes. Our man Tom Krieger was just tweeting out, I think the last one, yeah, this one, a 45-yarder to Claiborne Richards. Fourth touchdown of the game. It was a 45-yard touchdown pass from Marcel Reed. So that's 28-14, putting on a show. And then it was Friendship Christian up 17-7 last time we checked. USJ scored a touchdown right before the end of the third quarter. So that is 17-14 at the end of three. That game not over just yet. Brentwood Academy is also up 32-29 on Baylor. That's 7:05 to go in the third. And now McKenzie and Fayetteville still 17-12 after three. They're going into the fourth quarter in that one. So a lot of interesting stuff. You said Oakland's up 28-16 now. I think that's another update
Correct.
You got. And then in Page and Nolensville, a bomb of a touchdown pass. It looks like Page was up 21-14. That touchdown pass ties up at 21. So we have a tie game 21 each between Page and Nolensville. 4:50 to go in the third quarter.
That's just crazy. I mean, it's like the last time these two teams played. Things are going on there. I guess the one that's kind of, to me, Beach is having the way with Cane Ridge. I thought Beach would win this game, but not like this.
Yeah, and I figured Beach would even be in the state championship. I was talking to my man Anthony Fiorello, who does a great job of covering a lot of the Rutherford County games with Stork Vision. And we were kind of, you know, talking, filling out, you know, our brackets with each other, again, just, you know, seeing where, exchanging notes on where you think everybody's going to go. And I was telling him, I was like, I think Beach will have one of the tougher roads to get to Chattanooga. But the type of offense they play, that rushing game, like you know what's coming. You know it's coming every time. You know exactly the type of football you're going to get from Beach, but you still can't stop it. And that's almost worse right. than a team being unpredictable.
It is. Our boys, Pearl Cone up over Lexington now, 21-10. That game in the third quarter. Where's Lexington there, Mr. Tennessee Geography?
Lexington is not Lexington, Kentucky.
Correct. That would be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
That'd be illegal, by the way, for them to be in the Tennessee high school playoffs.
It would be. And then I talked about how much I love a good scandal, but I don't know specifically where Lexington. My West Tennessee geography outside of like Jackson and Carroll County or any way to get to Memphis is a little shaky, a little spotty.
So when I was going to junior college up in Sweetwater many years ago, I'd do the cut through at Crossville, and you'd go the road to take you to that side, and you'd go past the nuclear power plant.
Yes.
What was
that? Oak Ridge?
No, not Oak Ridge. It was the one that was kind of – it's on the Tennessee River. It's closed now.
Closed now.
Down by Dayton and Ray County.
Yeah, Ray County.
Spring City or Spring something there. It would take you right by the – it was way south. East or not, southwest of Oak Ridge.
Not like Harriman or anything, right?
No, more back. It would just cut through. Instead of going to Knoxville, going down 75.
Rockwood?
I don't know. Rockwood. It's been so long.
Yeah, Rockwood's a little on the south side of Knoxville, I believe.
Yeah. And they
Strawberry Plains?
I don't remember. I just remember there's a road that cut through that went straight from Crossville over to Dayton, Tennessee.
Yeah, see, yeah. I've had to go to Ray County for basketball games back when I was in high school. That's not a fun drive by any stretch of the imagination.
Especially in a 1981 Datsun 310 GX with three gears. Well, two gears, first gear and fourth gear. It was awesome, though. I'd beat you out of the gate, brother. I mean, and then after that, you got me. But about 10 minutes later, I'd come around, and I would pass by and have you on the backside of that. What was your first car? You remember?
My first car was a 2002 Volvo.
Fancy.
Like an ES40, I think is what it was. I can't remember the exact make, but it was.
Wagon or four-door?
Four-door.
Okay.
Yeah, four-door little Volvo. Loved that thing. Smelled like crayons on the inside. Anybody that you ever meet that drives a Volvo,
yeah,
smells like crayons on the inside. It's the adhesive. Apparently, I've looked it up. There's an adhesive that is part of the Volvo make that smells like crayons. There's probably people in their Volvo right now that they have had for decades and love because they're fantastic cars. But they're like, oh, my God, my car smells like crayons. No matter what you do in this car, no matter how many things you eat in this car, it's going to smell like crayons. It's a weird phenomenon.
Is it really? So how long did you have the car for? That's a fancy car for a young man like yourself.
Got it used. There was a lot of miles on it when I got it. I had that from my sophomore year in high school all the way until my second semester of college. So it lasted me like 3 years.
How many miles did you put on it? Or how many miles did you have when you got rid of it? How many miles did you have on it?
I can't remember right now. That was I got rid of that car in 2014. So it's almost been 10 years.
Oh, what'd you get after that?
A Nissan Versa.
Nice.
That thing could scoot, baby. I'm telling you.
Is that
you.
An electric car?
It was not. Not an electric car, but it was a much smaller, compact car. There wasn't a parking space I couldn't get into.
80 miles to the gallon?
At least.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that was
fantastic. I didn't, with my car, my 81 310 GX, I'm being totally honest here, I don't ever remember changing the oil.
You did.
For years. Changing the, and I ran over everything. That car wouldn't quit on me. I mean, it ran through everything.
See, my Nissan Versa was the one I did all my road trips in. I put that thing through the through the ringer, man. I ruined that car.
I was going from here to Birmingham, and I was at Sanford playing football, and my muffler fell off in Cullman, Alabama. So I had to drive, and it just fell off. I mean, my muffler, and like, I look back like, well, there goes my muffler.
Because, you're not stopping for it.
Because the car was like going to a Motley Crue concert. It was was so loud. And so I just drove down there and on campus, and somebody's like, what? You need to get a muffler. I'm like, I don't know. Car's just fine. It's not doing anything wrong. It's just louder than you know
what. That's why you can't hear now. It's because you had to drive that thing without a muffler for so long.
Crazy. All right, so Blackman has scored again. It's now 28-23.
Ooh, okay. So it's serious now because Oakland had that touchdown to make it 28-13. It's all because that's usually where Oakland puts on that extra gear, right? Let's go back to another car reference after talking about your mufflerless right. vehicle that made all the noise in the world. But Oakland's been that team we've talked about all year long. Like some teams will hang with them for a little bit, for a quarter and a half, and then bam, you know, the light switch goes off, they hit that gear, and then next thing you know, they're up 3 or 4 touchdowns. Well, they got up 2 touchdowns. Blackman responds with another touchdown to keep them right in the game. So I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm proud of that team to be able to hang in there because, honestly, I just thought we'd see a little bit of a slight variation of what we saw a couple months ago.
I just had the way that Thygard, the coach at Blackman, talked last week. Is like, hey, man, we're playing house money. They might end up getting beat 60-23. They might turn on the fourth quarter, whatever. But it was just that attitude he had on the phone. Real quick, Tyner scored again over East Robertson, now 28-7. Fayetteville is taking the lead over McKenzie, 18-17. That game now in the fourth quarter.
Wow. Okay. That game now, yep, now in the fourth quarter, Fayetteville against McKenzie, a team that has just absolutely steamrolled throughout their region in West Tennessee. Fayetteville undefeated, McKenzie undefeated, battle the unbeatens here. One team going to have a heartbreaking exit from the Elijah Campbell Undefeated Club. A lot slimmer in there. The fire marshal does not have to be worried about the attendance in there right now. That's going to be one I wish I could clone myself and teleport to that and see the end of it.
Yeah, Clay County with the, I guess, do they do running clocks in the playoffs? Chuck Morris, if you're listening, text me, let me know. I know you're listening out there. Do they running clock in the playoffs?
I think they do.
So Clay County up 41-6 over Gordonsville.
Wow, that was a disappointing game. That's a very disappointing outcome.
Maybe Gordonsville lost everything when they
ran out of gas
at South Pitt, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe you exhausted everything. You played with house money and
It's a factory down there at South Pitt, and that's a big win for Gordonsville, and it ran cold against Clay County tonight. All right, Elijah Campbell is going to have your scoreboard update. We do at the top and the bottom of the hour. These scores are changing by the minute, so we'll give you the latest scoreboard update right here on the Game Blitz. We got you till midnight tonight. We'll start getting some of these coaches on here in a little bit. It's a huge night for high school football. Quarterfinal action across the entire state. You are listening to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.